Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Swing and a high fly into left field. Did he get enough of it? Back at the track, Davis right in front of the wall. Davis looks up, he leaps, and it is gone. Christian Vasquez does it again. A solo homer, two-run shot. And it is 3-2 Boston.
Recapping the Red Sox win against the Mets.
And the 3-2. Inside, he hit him. He hit him in the shoulder, and a run is forced in. The Red Sox lead it 4-2.
Dial 617-779-7937.
Let's go!
All right, well, how about that? Back-to-back wins for your Boston Red Sox. And this is the response we needed to see. After they performed so poorly against the Orioles in the second and third game of that series, and after what happened on Monday and what happened on Tuesday night, you needed this team to go on the road and respond. And they responded last night, and they did it again tonight. And we'll see tomorrow night. You get a guy in Jordan Montgomery that is nothing special whatsoever for the Yankees. It was Martin Perez's turn tonight to respond to an awful outing against Baltimore, and he did. Give him a lot of credit for that. And tomorrow night, it's going to be Ryan Weber's opportunity to do the same thing. Now, of course, the opportunity for Ryan Weber is a lot more difficult, although this Mets lineup is nothing to sneeze at. It's a good lineup. McNeil's a really good player. Conforto's a really good player. Obviously, we know what Alonso did in terms of the home run power a season ago. Even Cano, for an older player, still gives you good at-bats. So this is not an easy lineup to manipulate through if you are Martin Perez tonight. But Ryan Weber, of course, gets the daunting challenge of going up against the New York Yankees tomorrow night. And the issue in that game is going to be the fact that Workman is now gone three consecutive nights. There's no way he's going to be available tomorrow. Barnes was in a position where he went back-to-back games, so he may not be available. And he pitched, what, almost 40 pitches, so I could not imagine he would be available tomorrow. So your bullpen is spent right now in terms of your high-leverage guys. So that's going to be the thing tomorrow, is can you get through that lineup with the bullpen that you have right now, considering all the pitches these guys have thrown recently. But the thing that jumps out to me right away tonight is the emergence of Christian Vasquez. Now, last year, he played well, 23 home runs, 26 doubles, and he started to show off the power a little bit. And then over the first couple of games of this season, we saw it again. He came into tonight with two home runs, and he comes back tonight with a pair of home runs. And this is after last night, remember, the huge double that made it 6-3 where he took the ball the opposite way. And prior to that, he had the huge home run in the game that tied things up at 3. And then you look at what he did tonight. He hammers a meaty changeup, 411 feet to make it a 1-0 game off of Steven Matz, rather. And then in the bottom half of that inning, he has that incredible play where he throws Conforto out by a mile at second base. So in that same inning, he hits a home run, and then he comes back and he throws out and he guns down Conforto at second base. And then later on in the game, Vasquez wasn't done because then he hits another home run on a 94-mile-an-hour fastball, middle-middle. He takes him deep. And this is a guy in Christian Vasquez who we were wondering when he came to the major leagues, would he be able to hit? That was a question with Christian Vasquez. And I have to do it. I got to give Dave Dombrowski credit. Remember, he locked him into a 3-year, $13 million contract. He's in year one of it. 3 years, $13 million. Look across Major League Baseball right now. Not a lot of catchers are better than Christian Vasquez. What he gives you defensively, although last night I hated when he threw it down to third base, but overall you saw him gun down Conforto tonight. What he gives you defensively, and now he's giving you the offense. 3 years, $13 million in the final year of that contract. is going to be a club option. Oh, what a wonderful deal. We talk about all the bad contracts that were given out under the Dave Dombrowski regime, mainly last year, the Sale contract, etc. But this contract for Christian Vasquez, geez, talk about a team-friendly deal. 3 years, $13 million for this guy. He's already got four home runs on the season. And what I was really starting to think about is the pillars of this team going forward, right? Because you start to think about Bogarts, who committed to the team, got the $200 million contract, doesn't have an opt-out until after the 2023 season. Rafael Devers, your young emerging star player, and tonight comes in, has a brutal at-bat, but did make up for it defensively with that really nice play in the ninth inning. That's two nights in a row where Devers, who struggled to begin the season defensively, has made two plays late in the game, in the ninth inning in particular, that were huge for the Red Sox. Last night, I know it didn't result in an out, but he knocked that ball down instead of it getting into left field, which would have tied up the game. And then tonight, that play he made at the beginning of the ninth inning to come up, and I know Ramos doesn't run well, but that's a really tough play on a slow rolling ball. So heck of a job by Devers coming in. But when we talked about the pillars of this organization, you're talking about the young guys in terms of Devers, and I know Bogarts isn't young anymore, but what, 27 years old? And then after what we've seen last year, considering he's the guy that's in charge of the pitching staff, not in charge of the pitching staff, but is your basically your everyday catcher. I know he's going to get games off with Plawecki, but he's your main catcher. And the way that he emerged as a power hitter last year, and the way that we've seen him from last year come into this year, and he's red hot to begin the season. I get he's not going to keep the batting average up to what it is, but the one thing that jumps out to me with Christian Vasquez that you can look at is the power is real. So now when we're thinking about the guys that are going to be mainstays for this organization, you know Bogarts is going to be here, you know Devers is going to be here, and then you have to throw in Vasquez to the equation. The way that he has emerged this season, we would have thought 2 years ago that, oh, Benintendi's that type of player that you're going to build around him along with the Bogarts and the Mookie Betts of the world. Obviously, Betts is no longer here. But I think at this particular point in time, we have now got to acknowledge that Vasquez is in that conversation with these guys. Not to say that he's the same offensive player that Bogarts or that Devers is, but in terms of the fact that he gives you solid play behind the plate, we know he has a hell of an arm back there, and now what he's been able to do with the bat. Two games in a row, he's been your key contributor offensively. I'm not saying I'm judging everything on two games, but at this particular point in time, I think you have to throw him into the equation in terms of the main pieces going forward with this organization. The other guy you throw into the ring is Erod, and the only reason I don't throw JD in there is because they're not committed to him long-term. JD has an opt-out after the season. That's a decision that they're going to have to make over the coming months, and really, you got to have a conversation pretty soon if you're the Red Sox with J.D. Martinez. Try to gauge what he's thinking in terms of his future with the organization. But I would throw Erod into the conversation as well. I'd just like to see Erod back up what he did a season ago. Because last year was the first really good season we saw out of Eduardo Rodriguez where he actually gave you the 200 innings. And in the final month of the season, all but one of his starts, he went at least six innings. Two of those, he went seven innings. So you're really happy with the maturation process of Eduardo Rodriguez. I just want to see him back up the season, just like I wanted to see Christian Vasquez back up the season so far this year, and he's already doing it. It's really been impressive. Now, I will get into Martin Perez and his outing in just a second, but I do want to mention a couple of other things in terms of the bullpen. One guy, and we're now becoming aware of what his role is going to be, is Heath Embry. Heath Embry is clearly going to come into those difficult situations, those messy situations with guys on base where, hey, you got to get an out or you got to get two outs, because we saw it last night when he came in to face Cespedes with Davis on base, struck out Cespedes, challenged him with a fastball, and then got him on a slider down. And that was tonight, I should say. And that was after last night where he had runners on second and third, comes in to face J.D. Davis, strikes him out in three straight fastballs. So tonight you brought in Embry to get yourself out of trouble in that sixth inning, and he's able to come up and get out Davis. And then the night prior to that, he comes up and he's able to get J.D. Davis. And if you look at Embry last year, and by the way, he got through the seventh as well for you, which was impressive. And remember, this is a guy last year that was really good before the elbow strain. So Heath Embry now, we know what his role is. And that's a big thing for this Red Sox team, because at the beginning of the season and everything got thrown out of place or was put out of place because of Hernandez is dealing with the coronavirus, Josh Taylor's dealing with the coronavirus, Eduardo Rodriguez is dealing with the coronavirus. So you're dealing with all these things with the pitching staff, But Heath Embry has now established himself as somebody that's going to come into games when it gets in a messy situation. Clearly, it doesn't bother him, and he's able to perform at a relatively high level. We saw it tonight against Cespedes. Last night, it was against J.D. Davis. So that's somebody that you can rely on going forward. And I believe, clearly, the evidence is Ron Renneke trusts him in those big situations. And that's something that clearly this team needed, is more reliable guys in the bullpen when you compare it what happened a year ago when you never felt great about the bullpen. Now, it's still a roller coaster ride with some of those guys out there, but you're going to get Taylor back and you're going to get Darwinson Hernandez back, and that makes this bullpen a lot better than it is at this point in time. But Heath Embry so far this season has proven himself as a guy that's going to be a key contributor when you get into those situations where, hey, maybe the starter goes, in the case of Perez tonight, 5 2/3. You need one out with a runner on base. Hey, come on in, Heath Embry. Or second and third, like last night, you need an out. Can you come in and get out Cespedes? And he was able to do it last night. So that's a big development for this team because he was really good until he started dealing with injuries a season ago. All right, a lot more to get into. And really, a bigger, broader question. What do you make out of these two wins? Because for me, this team showed guts. And that's what you needed to see because they were so bad against the Orioles and they looked defeated because of the lack of pitching they were getting. This team looked defeated after that Orioles two-game losing streak, if you will. And then they lose two more to the Mets on Monday and Tuesday. And this looked like one of the worst teams in all of Major League Baseball. And for them to respond the way they did against the New York Mets, who are a pretty good team, the past couple of days, that was impressive for me. They actually showed some heart. They actually showed some guts. And I give the manager credit again. Workman went three consecutive days. So again, Ron Renneke showed us he is managing to win this season, which is something you could have questioned earlier on this year. So I give the manager credit again this evening for the job that he did. All right, a lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937. What does this start mean for Martin Perez? How concerned are you about Barnes? And now with Workman, after a so-so outing last night, one that made you walk the tightrope, he was much better tonight. So are you convinced that Brandon Workman's your closer? We'll get into all that, and we'll get you trending in just a second here on WEI.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Sox beat the Mets 4-2. Martin Perez went 5 2/3, surrendering two earned runs to pick up the win. Christian Vasquez belted a pair of home runs. He already has four long balls on the season. How about that? The Sox play the Yankees in the first of a three-game set in the Bronx tomorrow night. Coverage begins at 6:05 on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, with Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming on the call. Ryan Weber will be on the mound opposite Jordan Montgomery. The Phillies-Blue Jays series, scheduled for this weekend in Philadelphia, has already been postponed. This comes after a member of the Phillies coaching staff and a member of the home clubhouse staff tested positive for the coronavirus. Jeff Passan reporting the league is expected to announce tomorrow it'll use seven-inning doubleheaders starting August 1st. This is due to games that need to be rescheduled after coronavirus cancellations. The Bees lost to the Blue Jackets 4-1 in an exhibition game tonight. David Pastrnak scored in the loss. Tuukka Rask played about a period and a half. He was responsible for three goals. The Black and Gold will take on the Flyers Sunday in their first game of the round-robin tournament. The round-robin will determine the top four seeds in the East. The Seas play the Bucks in their first game of the restart Friday night. Kemba Walker will be on a restriction of 15 to 20 minutes for tomorrow. Brad Stevens said Walker is a little bit ahead of schedule. He's making his way back from knee soreness. Tom Brady and the Bucks added a running back today. Veteran LeSean McCoy reached an agreement with Tampa. McCoy ran for just 465 yards in 13 games last season. And oh, by the way, he was a healthy scratch in the Super Bowl last year. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're right back to it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
Do you expect to get E-Rod back? And if so, will it be soon?
We do expect to get him back. I couldn't tell you exactly when. You know, obviously we're fortunate in that, you know, the complication, you know, that he had is very mild, you know, in terms of, you know, just the severity of it. But obviously we chose to leave it to Eddie to talk about it to the extent that he wanted to. And so you guys, you know, have heard obviously what he's dealing with. It's not something you mess around with. So even though we're fortunate, it's mild, very confident he's going to make a full recovery. He's going to be fine long-term. He's going to be able to pitch for us. And we're expecting it to be at some point this summer. It's just not something you can mess around with until you're sure it's completely resolved. You can't really get him on that track.
All right, that is Chaim Bloom, of course, the general manager of the Red Sox. He was on the Greg Hill Show earlier today talking about E-Rod and his status on when he's going to come back. And you can tell that Bloom says they're going to be very cautious. This is, remember, inflammation of the heart after dealing with COVID-19. So it's not something you want to rush the player back from, and you want to make sure that he's 100% ready to go so he has enough stamina. But I'm just trying to think about what this team looks like through the first week of the season, because that's where we're at. Through the first week of the season, through the first seven games, you're sitting at 3-4. If E-Rod gets two chances to go through the rotation already, because think about how much different that Baltimore Orioles series looks like if E-Rod pitches opening night and he has an outing similar to Eovaldi, and then you get Eovaldi to have the outing that he had on the second night. And then what happens this week? You have Eovaldi going last night, and you have, or I should say, you would have E-Rod going the night prior. And think about how much different the outlook of this team is right now if E-Rod is just in the rotation to begin the year. So that's one of those instances for this team that you just couldn't predict. But it's just so unfortunate because of the inconvenience, or the inconveniences that Ron Renneke had to deal with earlier on the season. And he's done some things that I did not agree with. I'll be the first one to admit that. But I also have to acknowledge the fact that the manager has been dealing with a very tough deck to begin the season. Because really, when you look at it, now Martin Perez, and I'll get to him in a second, he gave you a good start tonight. But outside of the start that Martin Perez gave you tonight, the only guy you could depend on is Nathan Eovaldi. And I'm not telling you after one start tonight that all of a sudden I know that Martin Perez is going to do this each and every time he goes out there. I don't know that. He's never been a consistent pitcher throughout his major league career. And I understand we haven't been watching him through a microscope because he hasn't been playing here, but his track record has not been particularly great. So I'm not telling you I buy into him 100%. But when you know that you have at least two guys in the rotation, E-Rod and Nathan Eovaldi, that are going to give you solid outings, and quite frankly, I didn't know that about Eovaldi until the first two games, because he's been a guy that has been inconsistent, and last year we know that he was dealing with the injuries. But this team, if they just had E-Rod to begin the season, think about how much differently we would be talking about this team, because you wouldn't have had to go through all these bullpen arms over the first week of the season and overuse guys in the bullpen. I don't want to say overuse guys, but put guys in positions where they shouldn't be. And think about what happened. Remember the Ryan Weber start earlier this season against Baltimore, where, hey, if E-Rod had pitched the second game of the series, you could have gone to the bullpen a lot earlier instead of sending Weber out to the fourth inning because the bullpen wouldn't have been spent. So it's just that domino effect that the Erod injury has had on this team. I hope he gets back because I want Erod to prove what he did last year is the pitcher he's going to be going forward and is somebody that you want to keep here for years to come as a key contributor to this pitching staff. And last year he deserved a lot of credit for what he was able to accomplish because he finally turned that corner where he was going deep into games. And I just wanted to see it play itself out this season. And unfortunately, we have no idea when he's going to come back. And if I'm Erod, I would not rush it whatsoever. Take all the time that you need to come back because you don't want to mess around with something like that. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you until midnight. Now, I did want to get to the outing from Perez because obviously the other night he was absolutely atrocious against Baltimore, or the other day. And then tonight he bounces back. And we should reference that game against Baltimore, he was horrible in the first two innings. And then he found something in the next three innings and he gave you three scoreless innings. And it seemed like he picked up where he left off last game. The only issue that he had was really that third inning. He walked Ramos, the eight hitter, which you can't lose the eight hitter, right? And I understand that Perez is a guy that has to nibble around the strike zone because obviously he doesn't have the stuff that's going to overwhelm you. And his fastball, really everything outside of that changeup, he was barely throwing for strikes. And then that changeup is really good. But he has to nibble around the strike zone. But the problem for me is when you have the eight and the nine hitter up, those are the guys you go after because you shouldn't be scared of them. And I know Ramos has some power, but you can't lose him to begin an inning. And then he hit Nimmo, the nine hitter, which you can't do that. He hit 221 a season ago. Then he gets Rosario to ground into the fielder's choice, but Peraza airmails the throw over to first. And by the way, how about Peraza? What the hell was he doing on the bases tonight? You have Bogarts at second, right? Or Bogarts at the plate, and you have Peraza at second, and he steals, trying to steal third. He gets caught. What the hell was that? I don't know what's going on with Peraza and his base running. The other night, remember, he belted one off the wall to begin the game at Fenway off the Green Monster. He tries to take second. What the hell? The play's right in front of you. He's never played at Fenway, Brian. It's pretty damn obvious when the play's right in front of you. You should be able to figure that crap out. It's pretty damn simple. But anyway, after Rosario grounds into the fielder's choice, he walks Alonso on four pitches. McNeil singles it. It's 2-0. And then Davis hammers a changeup to the track. He's able to strike out Conforto on a nasty pitch down in the zone. But it comes back to that particular inning. You can't walk the eight hitter, and you can't walk the nine hitter. But other than that, he was able to keep himself out of trouble for the majority of the game. And if he just doesn't walk the eight hitter and he doesn't hit the nine hitter, we're talking about a guy that maybe gives you six scoreless innings or 5 2/3 scoreless innings. But all in all, it was an impressive outing for Perez to come back the way he did tonight. I was very impressed with the outing. Now, I'm not telling you that this means for me, I trust this player going forward because he does not have a track record. But when you get that type of outing against a good lineup, in my mind, in the New York Mets, I have to give the player credit for making some adjustments like he did tonight. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Mike. He is in North Providence. What's up, Mike?
Hi, Brian. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's nice that the team's bounced back the last two games, shown some resilience, some close games too. That was big, as opposed to just the blowout in the first game and then after that having issues.
And you know what, Mike, to just hop in for a second here. The thing is, my whole expectation for the Red Sox, or my expectations were just keep it competitive for the majority of the season. Just keep it interesting for us, and I believe that's all we can expect. We can't expect a World Series out of this team, so just stay competitive. And over the last two nights, they've battled back, and I give them credit for that.
One thing that's bothering me is they're talking about stretching out Darwin's and Hernandez,
yeah,
and maybe even making him a starter. I think that's really spitting a bit.
Yeah,
Mike,
I got into that yesterday. I couldn't believe it when Renicki said it, that they wanted to make him into a starter. We saw this experiment at the minor league level. He was horrible as a starter, walked 7 guys per 9 innings a season ago. They tried him last year, one game briefly. We found something coming out of the bullpen last year in Hernandez. I don't know why they don't just embrace that.
I mean, it's like one of these things where he has to learn to be a reliever, you know, to be an elite reliever. He has that potential to be like a Jonathan Papelbon guy who converts over from being a mediocre starter to being a top-end reliever. And now they're like using, you know, like you said, they don't really have a chance of winning the World Series this year as currently constructed. Or if they do, it's the slenderest of odds. But this kid can learn to be a top end reliever this year if they allow him to do it. And same thing, like, you know, Taylor will be coming back soon, which is, I think, another good thing. But just to get these guys used to the roles for at least next season, where they actually have a legit chance to put a good team back on the field again. And instead, they're just kind of chasing after a short-term alternative. And what's going to end up happening is if they try to put him back in the bullpen next season, he's going to have to learn from scratch again, as opposed to really developing a repertoire and an approach this season, which would help the team going forward. And it's just, it's not a smart move.
Yeah, and Mike, it seems like it's something that we already know the answer to. He's not a starter. He's a reliever. And the other thing I would say is if you come out of the 2020 season and you know that Darwinson Hernandez, who, by the way, that fastball has so much late life on it, that is what impressed me most last year. You come out of 2020 and you know he's a reliever you can depend on to pitch the eighth or ninth inning, whatever it is, going forward. That's massive, because so many of these relievers, not just with the Red Sox, but across the sport, are so damn inconsistent. If you have a guy you know you can depend on, that's a massive thing for the Red Sox to come out of 2020 with.
Yeah, and it's just the pacing and the approach for a one-inning guy is so massively different from a starter.
Right.
I mean, we saw that with Papelbon. Like, you get used to, you know how to use your pitches. You know how to, coming into the eighth inning of a game is different than starting a game. And he can really perfect it now. Or go a long ways in perfecting it, and also really establish himself a role, so they go and know in next year, okay, we have this guy taken care of, we have him set in his role. And instead, they're just kind of throwing it all up in the air for a short-term alternative, which will actually retard the development of the player, and may even actively screw him up. Because we've seen that in the past, too. Look what happened to Daniel Bard.
Yeah. And we saw it, Mike, and I appreciate the phone call. We saw it with Jabba Chamberlain as well with the New York Yankees. When you start to give these guys different roles all the time, they're not going to succeed. The mentality, and Mike pointed out, with a reliever that knows he's going out there for one inning, you need three outs. It's different than a starter. Obviously, you have to pace yourself when you're a starter. When Darwinson Hernandez was in the minors trying to pace himself, it didn't work well. When you asked him last year, hey, go down, become a reliever, and then come back up. When he came back up, he was really good as a reliever. He's got really good stuff as a reliever. So I don't understand what is the bad thing about him becoming a reliever. Just because at one point he was the top pitching prospect in your organization, you don't want him to be just a reliever? I'm sorry, he's not a starter. Make him a reliever and be happy with that. It's not something you should be upset with. If you can get a quality reliever, that's a good thing. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. I do want to get into something that Chaim Bloom said to Greg Hill today on the Greg Hill Show about this team's plan for the trading deadline. I didn't really like it. We'll get to it in a second here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're right back to what you want to hear. More of Brian Barrett on EEI.
I think there's a lot of different things to consider. Look, if we have something that, you know, that's an opportunity to set us up well, consistent with the way that we've approached this really since the fall. You know, we want to win in 2020. We cannot discard the future, and if something's going to help us in 21 and 22 and 23 and 24, it'd be irresponsible of us not to consider something like that. But I don't think we're approaching this right now with a singular mindset one way or the other. You know, we want to compete right now, and we need to make sure we're looking at opportunities in the big picture as well.
All right, that's Chaim Bloom, of course, the general manager of the Red Sox. He was on with the Greg Hill Show earlier today. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. What do you make of the GM's comments? We're not exactly, we want to win in 2020, But if we have something that can benefit us in 2021, 2022, 2023, 2023, 2024, we're not going to pass up on that. What do you make of his comments? 617-779-7937. In my mind, what he said is the right approach with this Red Sox team. See, if you're the Yankees right now, you're only buying, right? If you're the Los Angeles Dodgers, you're only buying right now. And especially after the way the Red Sox started, in my mind, what you should do is some of these guys that you're not committed to long term, put them out there and see what you could get in return, right? Because you're not winning a World Series this year. You don't have that opportunity to do it this year. So some of these guys that are impending free agents, in my mind, when you look at the Jackie Bradley Juniors of the world, especially the way that he started the season, he's been hot. Somebody may say, oh, former ALCS MVP, really good defensive player. We'll give up a prospect for him. I'm not telling you it's going to be a high-end prospect or anything like that. But if Jackie Bradley Jr. is just going to walk, instead of getting a compensation pick, why don't you get something in return for Jackie Bradley Jr.? Same thing with a guy like Mitch Moreland. Mitch Moreland is a gold glove caliber first baseman, and we've seen that Ron Reinicke doesn't want to play him every day. And I know that he's been tremendous to begin the season, but if it comes to the point where you're getting offered a decent return for Mitch Moreland, and again, I'm not telling you it's going to be this massive return, but if Chaim Bloom identifies guys in certain farm systems that he likes that he believes can contribute to this team in 2023, 2024, 2022, it may be an opportunity to make a move like that. Even a guy like Brandon Workman, because I've said it multiple times, I don't believe that Brandon Workman is going to be this bona fide stud reliever. Now, he was better tonight, but I'm never going to be convinced that he's going to be this key reliever going forward. He's never going to be like Aroldis Chapman, where you know what you have with the player, where every year you can depend on that guy in your bullpen. He's just never going to be that type of player. He had one outlier season in his career, and that was last year. Other than that, he's been not that great of a pitcher, and we saw it last night how poorly or how much of a struggle it was. And tonight, a little more clean for Workman. I felt a lot better about tonight than I did last night. But if you can get something for Workman, that's one thing we know. At the deadline, everybody is always looking for relievers, right? Every contender. We say it every year for the Red Sox when they were contending for World Series. We say it every year. They need a bullpen arm. Except last year, Dave Dombrowski said, nah, we'll just get Andrew Cashner and we'll make up for it with starting pitching. Well, that didn't work. But most teams are looking that are contending. Most of those teams are looking for a reliever at the deadline, so you may be able to get something for Brandon Workman. Now, the one thing I will say in terms of a big move is this organization has to figure out what it's doing with J.D. Martinez long term, because we know that J.D. likes being in Boston, but we also know that he has an opt-out after this season. He has an opt-out after this year, just like he did last year, but he has an opt-out after this year where he can get out and he can test the open market, so to speak. So they have to figure out, and Chaim Bloom's going to talk with Scott Boras and figure out what J.D. Martinez wants. Because in my mind, this team is not as far away as everybody thinks it is to competing again. If Evaldi's the guy we've seen the first two starts, then you feel good about him going forward. If you think that Erod is the guy he was last year, you feel good about Erod going forward. And then Chris Sale gets back in 14 to 15 months, and maybe you pick up another starter in terms of free agency. So in my mind, ideally for me, I don't want to go through this huge, massive rebuild. I'd much rather J.D. Martinez be a member of this team going forward. And quite frankly, I don't believe that the return for J.D. Martinez at the trading deadline is going to be great for a guy that is going to opt out in all likelihood after next season. The return for that guy isn't going to be great. So I believe keeping J.D. Martinez around should be one of the main priorities for this team. We've already seen this happen before with this organization. When David Ortiz decided to step away, remember the lineup took a massive step back. And then you got J.D. Martinez, and what happened? You won a World Series. He makes everybody else in this lineup better. And by the way, in my mind, this type of player ages well. The big power hitter, J.D. Martinez, is a big guy. Look at David Ortiz. In his 40-year-old season, David Ortiz had an OPS over 1,000. He had 38 home runs, 127 RBI. Okay? He hit .315 with an on-base percentage over 400. At 37, he hit .309 with 30 home runs. J.D. Martinez is 32. Everybody has it in their mind like this guy's old. He's not. He's 32 years old and he's a power hitter. His game is not like Mookie Betts based on his speed and his athleticism. No, it's based on his pure hitting ability and his power. And J.D. Martinez, to me, is going to age well. And I do not want to see the Red Sox move the player because, quite frankly, what you're going to get back from him, for him rather, at the deadline is not going to be worth it. I much rather sign J.D. Martinez long term, work something out with Scott Boras to say, hey, can we give him a raise? Whatever it is to keep J.D. Martinez a member of this team going forward. All right, thanks to Josh for producing. I'll be back with you tomorrow night. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.